Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Eruvin, perek Vav. In this perek, the focus of discussion shifts from Eruv Chatzerot and Shituf Mevo'ot, which together have been the subject of the last five prakim, to the entirely different institution of Eruv Tchumin. Recall the Isser of Tchum Shabbat, which we learned in Hilchot Shabbat, perek Chav Zayin. One may not travel outside of his city more than 2,000 amot in each of the four main directions of north, south, east, and west. This iser is midirabbanan. The Rambam believes that a larger tchum of 12 mil is midoraita. And in this perek we will learn about a rabbinic mechanism through which a person can modify the exact boundaries of his tchum Shabbat. Halacha Aleph. Mishi yatsa min ha-medina be'erev Shabbat, v'hiniach mezon shtei seudot rachok min ha-medina betoch ha-tchum, v'kava shvitato sham, af al pi shechazar la-medina v'lan be'beito, nachshov oto ki'ilu Shabbat b'makom shehiniach bo shtei ha-seudot, v'zehu ha-nikra eruvei tchumin. Before Shabbat, one may place two seudot worth of foods in some location outside his city, and within his tchum, in order to be konesh shvita in that spot, even if he subsequently returns to his city and spends the night of Shabbat in his home there. Remember what the term konesh shvita means. The spot where he places the food is considered the center of his tchum, from which he may travel 2,000 amot north, south, east, or west. This food is called an eruv tchumin. The reason for the term eruv is that this mechanism allows the mixing of a permitted area, 2,000 amot from where one resides, with another area, 2,000 amot from the food which is placed in another location, part of which had previously been off-limits, to create a new Tchum Shabbat. Halacha bet, v'yesh lo lahaloch mimekom eruvo alpay mama l'chol ruach, lefichach kishu malech mimekom eruvo l'machar alpay mama keneged ha-medina, eino malech ba-medina ela ad sof midato, v'im haita ha-medina muvla'at betoch midato, the rules of the 2,000 amot, which one may walk, are the same rules which govern the usual Tchum Shabbat, which we learned in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chav Zayin, except that now the center is the Eruv Tchumin. Specifically, we learned there that if one's 2,000 amot end in the middle of a city, then he must stop wherever they end in the middle of the city. But if a city is entirely contained within one's 2,000 amot in some direction, then the whole city only counts as 4 amot of his tchum, no matter how big it actually is, and the tchum continues beyond the outer edge of the city. Halachot Gimel through Hay apply these details to Eruvei Tchumin, and we summarize. Suppose Ruvein starts Shabbat in some city, we'll call it Nineveh, and puts his Eruv Tchumin outside the city limits of Nineveh, 1,000 amot east of his home inside Nineveh. Where may he walk the next day? Since the Eruv is his center, he may walk up to 2,000 amot east of his Eruv, that is, 3,000 amot east of his house, where he spent the night. West of his Eruv, he may walk 2,000 amot, which include the 1,000 amot back to his house, and another 1,000 amot west of his house. If these 2,000 amot end in the middle of Nineveh, he may not walk any further west. This is a major drawback relative to one who is konesh shvita inside Nineveh, who may walk all the way to the western edge of the city and then 2,000 amot beyond that. We note that the Ramah accepts the more lenient opinion of Rashi, that because Ruvain began Shabbat in Nineveh, he may walk the entire length of the city even if the 2,000 amot west of his Eruv end in the middle of the city. Back to the Rambam now. In the event that the 2,000 amot west of Ruvain's Eruv end beyond the western edge of Nineveh, meaning that all of Nineveh is subsumed in his tchum, then the entire city counts as only 4 amot from east to west. So for example, if the eastern edge of Nineveh is 800 amot west of Ruvain's Eruv, and the whole city is less than 1,200 amot from east to west, then it is subsumed in the tchum, and therefore it counts only as 4 amot, and Ruvain's tchum continues to the west another 1,196 amot beyond the western edge of Nineveh, that is, the remaining 1,200 amot, except the 4 amot which Nineveh itself is considered to take up. The listener is referred to our summary of Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chav Zayin, where there is a diagram accompanying Halacha Hay, which illustrates this concept. A few more important details about calculating the 2,000 amot from the Eruv. 1. clearly the Eruv must be placed within the 2,000 Amot of where Reuven begins Shabbat, so that he can be located inside his own Tchum when Shabbat begins. In the extreme case that Reuven places the Eruv 2,000 Amot to the east of his home in Ninveh, he may not move even one Amot to the west of where he begins Shabbat, as this is out of his Tchum. He may only go east, 2,000 Amot to his Eruv, followed by another 2,000 Amot from there eastward. 2. If Reuven puts his Eruv inside a Reshut HaYachid, or inside a neighboring city, then his Tchum is like that of anyone who starts Shabbat in such a place. He may walk the entire length of the Reshut HaYachid, or the city, and 2,000 Amot outward from its edges in each direction. This implies also that if he places the Eruv anywhere inside Ninveh itself, where he begins Shabbat, then he has accomplished nothing. His Tchum is the same as it would be if he didn't place any Eruv at all, namely all of Ninveh and 2,000 Amot outside the city limits in each direction. We continue with Halacha Vav. Ein ma'arvin Eruvei Tchumin ela lidvar mitzvah. Kegon shehaya rotzeh lelech levet ha'evel, o lemishteh shel nisuin, o lehakpil pnei rabo, o chaviro sheba min haderech v'chayutzei ba'elu. O mipnei hayira, kegon shehaya rotzeh livroach min hagoyim, o min halistim v'chayutzei bazeh. Ve'im erev shelo le'echad mikol elu, ela lidivrei harishut, harei zeh eruv. One may only set up an eruv tchumin to modify his tchum for the purpose of a mitzvah, or because of a potential danger, like hostile non-Jews or bandits who may approach from the other side of the city. The definition of mitzvah for this purpose is broad, and includes paying a shiva call, attending a sheva brachot, and greeting one's rebbe or his friend who has returned from a journey. This requirement of lidvar mitzvah is only lechatchila, and an eruv tchumen is valid bidi'eved even if it is set up for some other reason. Halacha zayin. Kol shemishtatfin bo, ma'arvin bo eruvei tchumin. V'chol she'ein mishtatfin bo, ein ma'arvin bo eruvei tchumin. V'chama shiur eruvei tchumin, mizon shtei su'udot l'chol echad ve'echad. V'im haya liftan, kedei l'chol bo shtei su'udot, kamo ha'shituf. The type of food which may be used for eruv tchumin is the same as that which may be used for shituf mevo'ot, which as we saw in Perek Aleph is any significant food or drink, not necessarily bread. The required amount is shtei su'udot, meaning the quantity of this food typically eaten in two meals which include bread. This is the same as the maximal amount required for a shituf, as we saw in Perek Aleph, but with an important difference. In a shituf, this amount suffices for an unlimited number of people, but in eruv tchumin, this is the amount required for each person who is relying on the eruv. As the Beit Yosef points out, some good practical advice when making Eruv Tchumen for a large group of people is to use a spread or dip, as the quantity of this consumed in two meals is much smaller than the quantity of bread or other foods. For example, someone making an Eruv with bread for seven people would need to put down enough bread for 14 meals. This is easily several loaves. But if he uses peanut butter instead, then two jars are probably enough. The next 10 halachot or so detail a central principle about Eruv Tchumen. The Eruv takes effect in the Bein HaShmashot period when Shabbat begins, and so during that time, the Eruv must exist, it must be in its proper location, and it must be theoretically accessible to the Ma'ariv, the person whose Tchum is affected, in his location. The last point means, Halacha Chet explains, that if the Eruv is in a Reshut HaYachid, but the person is in a Reshut HaRabim during Bein HaShmashot, or the reverse, then the Eruv is invalid, because he cannot bring the Eruv to where he is without violating a Malacha. However, Halacha Tet continues, if either he or his Eruv is in a Karmelit during Bein HaShmashot, then the Eruv is valid, as there is no Isser Doraita to carry from any Reshut into a Karmelit, or the opposite. Halacha Yud adds a case which we saw in the context of Eruv Chatzerot at the end of Perek Aleph. If the Eruv is locked in a box, and the key is lost before Bein HaShmashot, the Eruv remains valid only if it can be removed from the box without performing a Melacha D'oraita. Why is the Eruv not considered inaccessible due to the Isser D'Rabbanan of carrying to or from a Karmelit, or breaking a box even without a Melacha? Recall the principle from Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chaf Dalid that a Shvut, an Isser D'Rabbanan of Shabbat, is permitted during Bein HaShmashot for the purpose of a mitzvah. And recall also from Halacha Vav that an Eruv Tchumen may be set up only for a Dvar mitzvah. Parenthetically, I wonder if this means that an Eruv Tchumen set up not for a Dvar Mitzvah, which the Rambam wrote in Halacha Vav is valid b'dieved, is disqualified if it is only accessible by violating a Shvut. In the parallel case of Eruv Chatzerot at the end of Perek Aleph, the Eruv is valid, because the Shvut is permitted ben Hashmashot even in cases of Dochak, duress, and the lack of an Eruv Chatzerot qualifies as Dochak, because without it, no one may carry from his house into his Chatzer. I'm not sure if an Eruv Tchumen set up for a non-mitzvah purpose is considered Dochak, and I haven't seen this discussed. At the end of Halacha Yud, there is an interesting exception to the general rule. An Eruv placed within the branches of a tree, or just above anything growing from the ground, is invalid, because of the gzera that he might break a branch. Even though the gzera against using trees on Shabbat is a Shvut, the Magen Mishnah explains that the Eruv is still disqualified, because the likelihood of breaking a branch in this scenario, in violation of the Melacha of Kotzer, is especially strong. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kol hameniach eruvo b'makom, yesh lo b'mkom eruvo arba amot. Lefichach, hameniach eruvei tchumin shelo b'sof ha-tchum, v'nitgalgel ha-eruv v'yatza chutz la-tchum, b'toch shte amot harei ze eruv, u'chi'ilu lo yatza m'mkomo, v'im yatza chutz l'shte amot eino eruv, sh'arei na'asa chutz la-tchum, v'hameniach eruvo chutz la-tchum eino eruv, m'pnei she'eino yachol la'agia el eruvo. The exact spot where the Eruv is located is itself considered to be a square of 4x4 amot, with the Eruv itself in the middle and 2 amot of space on each side of it. This means that if Reuven puts his Eruv exactly 2,000 amot to the east of where he begins Shabbat, the farthest away he may put it in that direction, and before Ben Hashmashot, the Eruv rolls less than 2 amot beyond that, so that it is now between 2,000 and 2,002 amot away from Reuven, the Eruv is still valid, because part of the Eruv's square is still within Reuven's Tchum during Ben Hashmashot. But if it rolls more than 2 amot in that direction, then the Eruv is ineffective because it is completely outside Reuven's Tchum, including its entire square. The Ravid here believes that the dimensions of the Eruv's square extend outward from the Eruv 4 amot in each direction, not 4 amot altogether, which is 2 in each direction. And so he considers the Eruv valid if it rolled up to 4 amot beyond the edge of Reuven's Tchum. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this more lenient view. Halacha Yud Bet introduces a new principle. Nitgalgel ha'eruv v'yatza shtei amot chutz la'tchum, o avad o nisraf, o shaya truma v'nitma, mibaod yom eino eruv, mishachashecha harei ze eruv, shekniat ha'eruv bein hashmashot, v'imsafek harei ze eruv, shesfek ha'eruv kasher, lefichach im ne'echal ha'eruv bein hashmashot, harei ze eruv. This too we saw in the context of Eruv Chatzerot at the end of Perek Aleph. Suppose something happens to the Eruv which can disqualify it, like it gets burnt, lost, or eaten, or it rolls more than a few amot outside Tchum as in the last halacha, or if it is Truma and becomes Tame and therefore inedible even to Kohanim. Or, Halacha Yadalit adds, if a large pile of rocks falls on the Eruv which cannot be cleared away without performing a Melacha Doraita. But whatever happened, there is a suffix if it occurred before Ben Hashmashot, in which case the Eruv is disqualified, or after Ben Hashmashot, in which case the Eruv is valid. Because the entire Isser of traveling outside the Tchum of 2,000 Amot is Midrabanan, the rule in such cases is Safek Eruv Kasher. A case of doubt, we are lenient and we accept the Eruv, and therefore one may rely on this Eruv. The Shulchan Aruch limits this rule to a case of Chezkat Kashrut, meaning that the Eruv was certainly put down to begin with, and the Safek relates only to whether it was later disqualified. But if there is a doubt as to whether the Eruv was ever put down in the first place, then it is puzzle. Halacha Yud Gimel adds another caveat. Even though the period of Ben Hashmashot is itself an example of a Safek, it may be part of Shabbat or may not, an Eruv Tchumen may not be set up l'chadchila during Ben Hashmashot, though if it is, then b'dieved it is valid. This is in contrast to Eruv Chatzerot and Shituf Mavot, which we learned in Parak Aleph, may be set up l'chadchila during Ben Hashmashot. Other Rishonim are more machmir about Eruv Tchumen, and hold that one which is set up during Ben Hashmashot is invalid even b'dieved, and the Mishnah Berurah accepts this view. The reason to distinguish between Eruv Tchumen on the one hand and Eruv Chatzerut and Shituf Mevot on the other, aside from the typically greater need for the last two in order to carry outside the home, is that Eruv Tchumen has a d'oraita root in the concept of Tchum Shabbat, while Eruv Chatzerut and Shituf are entirely midrabanan. Another limitation on the principle of Safek Eruv Kasher appears in Halacha Tet Vav. Aval im Erev bitruma shi sfeik tmea, eno Eruv, sheinasu daharuya. Vechein im hayu lefanav shtei kikarot shel truma, achat tohora v'achat tmea, veino yodea eizohi mishtehen, v'amar Eruvi batehora b'chol makom shehi, eno Eruv, she'en kan su'uda haruya l'achila. If Reuven uses as his Eruv food which is truma and which is safek tamei, and therefore may not be eaten because of the possibility that it is tamei, we do not apply the rule of safek Eruv kasher to validate this Eruv. Because in practice, Reuven may not eat his Eruv, even if only due to a safek, the Eruv is pasul. A critical element of Eruv Tchumen is that it be a su'uda haru'ya, food that may practically serve as a meal for the ma'arev. Similarly, if one of two truma loaves of bread is tamei, we don't know which, and Reuven uses both loaves with a disclaimer that only the tahor one counts as his eruv, this is pasul, as in practice neither loaf can be eaten due to the suffix. As with other conditions of eruv tchumen, this requirement of su'uda ru'ya applies during ben hashmashot, which in practice means that the food must be available and edible from the previous day, su'uda ru'ya mi ba'od yom, because the ben hashmashot period belongs both to the previous day and to the coming day. Therefore, Halacha Tetzayin adds that if one uses as his Eruv food which is Tevel, from which Truma was separated, but the separation will only take effect after dark, then the Eruv is Pasul, even though it is perfectly edible for most of Shabbat, because it was still Tevel until nightfall, and therefore is not a Su'uda Haru'ya Miba'od Yom. This requirement of Su'uda Haru'ya Miba'od Yom will come up again in Perek Chet. Halacha Yud Zayin. Hanotein eruvo bevet hakvarot, eino eruv, lefi shebet hakvarot asur bahanaya, v'chivan sherotze b'kiyum ha'eruv sham achar kniya, harei nehenebo. If an eruv tchumen is placed in a cemetery, then it is invalid, because a cemetery is asur bahana, and the ma'arev receives benefit from the continued existence of the eruv, which he eventually wishes to eat. Note that the hana from the eruv is not the fact that it allows him to modify his tchum, as this is considered a mitzvah, and we have a principle of mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu. The ability to do a mitzvah isn't considered hana. We'll get back to the mitzvah status of eruv tchumen at the end of the perek. Rather, the hana from the eruv is the physical benefit from the food. The Gra accepts that one may not place an Eruv Tchumen in a cemetery because of the Isser Hana, but he rejects the Rambam's conclusion that this invalidates the Eruv. The Isser Hana is violated even if the Eruv doesn't work, because the Ma'ariv still wants the food to continue to exist so he can eat it. Therefore, the Isser Hana and the reliance on the Eruv are entirely separate, and there is no reason for the Eruv to be invalidated in the opinion of the Gra. We summarize the next few halachot, which discuss situations of one person making an Eruv Tchumen on behalf of others. One person who wishes to make an Eruv Tchumen for a group of people can take the requisite amount of food, shtei su'udot for each person, as in Halacha Zayin, and give it to someone to be zoche in it on behalf of each person in the group. The principle at work here is zachin la'adam shlo befanav, and therefore this can only be done if the people in the group approve of having their tchum modified in this manner. Unlike Eruv Chatzerot, the Eruv Tchumen is not always a zchut, as it depends on where one wishes the center of his tchum to be located. However, if an Eruv is set up on someone's behalf before he is told about it, the Eruv is valid if he is informed before Ben Hashmashot, even if he only expresses approval after dark. The people who can be zocha on behalf of others in Eruv Tchumen are the same as those who can do so in Eruv Chatzerot, and the listener is referred to the details in Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf. One may make an Eruv Tchumen for his young children even without their knowledge, but not for his wife or his adult children, even if they are financially dependent on him. If one makes an Eruv for his wife or adult child and she acquiesces, then the Eruv is valid. But if she proceeds to make her own Eruv, then this represents a rejection of the first one made on her behalf, and the Eruv she made herself is valid. A child under age 6 is yotze with his mother's eruv, and no additional food needs to be added for him at all. A person or a group of people may send a shaliach to put down one or many eruvei tchumin, but the shaliach who does so must be an adult who is a bar dat, to exclude a cheresh, shote, and katan, and he must accept the mitzvah of eruv in general. If the shaliach is instructed to put down an eruv tchumin without any specifics about the exact location, then the eruv is effective wherever he puts it. But if he is given specific instructions about where to put the eruv or what food to use, and he violates those instructions, even in a seemingly small matter, like using dates when he was instructed to use figs, or putting the eruv in an upper floor of a house when he was instructed to put it in the lower floor, then the eruv is invalid. Halacha Chaf Dalet. Kishem shemivarchin al eruvei chatzirot v'shitufei mevaot, kach mevarech al eruvei tchumin. Ve'omer, בזה העירוב יהיה מותר לי להלך ממקום זה אלפיים אמה לכל רוח. ואם היה אחד מהרב על ידי רבים, אומר, בזה העירוב יהיה מותר לי פלוני ופלוני, או לבני מקום פלוני, או לבני עיר זו, להלך ממקום זה אלפיים אמה לכל רוח. When one sets up an Eruv Tchumin, he makes the same bracha of Asher Kedishanu B'Mesota V'Tzivanu Al Mitzvat Eruv that is made on Eruv Chatzerot and on Shituf Mavaot. And he adds a declaration that this Eruv will allow him, or the person or people on whose behalf the Eruv is being set up, to carry 2,000 amot in each direction from this spot. The Ravid here rejects the Rambam's opinion that a bracha is recited on making an Eruv Tchumen. He agrees that the bracha of Al Mitzvat Eruv should be said on an Eruv Chatzerot, because this has some relevance to a mitzvah, in that it is meant to strengthen one's awareness of the Isra of Hotzah on Shabbat, and of the difference between a Chatzer, a Mavoi, and a Rishut HaRabim. But what mitzvah is there in Eruv Tchumin? Even if it can only be set up for the purpose of a Dvar mitzvah, as we saw in Halacha Vav, there is no mitzvah in the Eruv itself. And therefore the phrase Al Mitzvat Eruv is entirely inappropriate for Eruv Tchumen in the view of the Ravid. The Magen Mishnah suggests that Eruv Tchumen belongs in the same category as Shchita and Netilat Yadayim. These are activities on which we make a Birkat HaMitzvah, even though each of them is not obligatory, but rather serves as a matir, an act which permits us to do something else we wish to do, eat meat in the case of Shchita, and eat bread in the case of Netilat Yadayim. So too, an Eruv Tchumen is a matir to walk a certain distance in some direction on Shabbat, which one would otherwise not be permitted to do. We see from the brachot on Shchita and Netilat Yadayim that a matir can be considered a mitzvah. And therefore, explains the Magen Mishnah, it makes perfect sense to make a birchat mitzvah on setting up an Eruv Tchumen as well. I hope to return later to the general question of counting a matir as a mitzvah, maybe when we get to Hilchot Shchita later in the Mishnah Torah.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.